The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Free agency is still pretty fresh, but it's looking like the NFC East is starting to take shape. Monday, veteran quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Washington football team reached an agreement for 1 year worth $10 million, which would grow to $12 million with incentives. That, according to our Adam Schefter. Max Kellerman, we pay very close attention to the NFC East here on this show, don't we, Max? Tell me this. Yep. Who do you think's most likely to win? Which quarterback? Would you go Dakota Prescott, our guy Danny Dimes, now Fitzmagic? Where are you on this?
Ready for this? Ryan Fitzpatrick is most likely to win the division out of all of these quarterbacks. Fitzmagic. And he's going to end his playoff drought. Look, had they not signed Fitzpatrick, I would have probably taken Dallas because they have Dak. And Fitzpatrick is just good enough to be dangerous to your team, to the team he plays for, because he can make you believe, and then by the end of the year, you go, there's a reason that when he's a starter, he's not a franchise guy, and a lot of times he winds up as a backup. That's true. But think of the team he's joining, guys. Like, he's competent. He sometimes makes bad decisions. He takes some risks. But he's a competent quarterback. He's a competent, professional, sometimes starting NFL quarterback. Who's he starting for? He started for a team whose defense was good enough to give the Bucks problems. Like, that was not an easy game for the Super Bowl champion Bucks, and that was during a great playoff run on the way to the Super Bowl. He's starting for a team that has some pretty good Gibson and McLaurin and Logan Thomas. Like, they have guys who can play on offense at all the skills positions. They're not setting the world on fire, but they're pretty good. And they have a savage defense. So when you look around at all the other teams in the division, the Eagles right now are a mess. The Giants, still, like, every year it's the same thing. The Cowboys have a very good quarterback who they just paid so much that they will not have the money to address other needs on the team, especially on defense. Like, they better hit with every single draft pick. I will reserve judgment ultimately until after the draft. But at this moment, Washington, which is unusual, it's not usually the case. Washington's the best team in the NFC East.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you about Washington being the best team in the NFC East if you take out the quarterbacks. So I think that a team around them and adding William Jackson to their secondary is very important. That D-line, everyone knows about how talented Payne, Sweat, Young, those guys are. It's a great team. And McLaurin, you mentioned him, Gibson, that's a great team. You took a shot at the Giants, which I actually think the Giants, with the exception of their offensive line, they are loaded as far as the skill positions are concerned on offense, and they have a very good defense. You're right about the Eagles, but this is all a conversation if we take the quarterbacks out of this. That's the only way that anyone can consider any of these other teams if you take the quarterbacks out of this. And we know, you said in the first segment of this show that this is a quarterback-driven league. This division has one great quarterback in it. It's Dak Prescott. I understand that defense was worse.
No, they added quarterbacks.
They,
go ahead.
They added Dan Quinn, a new defensive coordinator who was the head coach of the Falcons at the beginning of last year. Dak's a great quarterback. That's a whole nother conversation. But there's one quarterback in this entire division that anyone can have any faith in. No one's won this division back-to-back season since 2004. And I don't think that one of the most volatile quarterbacks in Ryan Fitzpatrick that can win a game and lose a game for your team, I don't think adding him, replacing Taylor Heineke or Alex Smith, I don't think this makes this team that much better. I think adding Dak Prescott back to the Dallas Cowboys makes them significantly better. I think adding a defensive coordinator in Dan Quinn, who has been in the league recently, as opposed to Mike Nolan, who was their defensive coordinator before, who had been out of the league for a while, I think that adds up to actual gains on the defense. So if I look around this division for a quarterback that I can trust, there's only one. And it ain't Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I don't got the Washington football team having a repeat of last season. That defense is going to fall back some, because that's what defenses do.
Well, look, you could talk about Dak and the fact whether or not he's a great quarterback, and I think he is trending toward being a great quarterback. I don't think he's there yet. I think he's a very good quarterback. Top 10-ish, but not top 5, let's say. The point is, he was on a loaded Cowboys team a couple years ago when the Eagles were suffering injuries everywhere and Carson Wentz was having a very overrated second half in a very weak division. And Dak won 8 games and failed to win the division. So, and by the way, now he's coming off an injury, a big injury where he missed a whole year. And if anything, the Cowboys have regressed since the 8-win team. That offensive line is not your slightly older cousin's offensive line anymore. Dom, this is not the offensive line where, what was it, 4 out of 5 years they spent first-round draft picks? Like, everyone talks about the O-line. Dallas, the Jones, especially Stephen Jones, put their money where their mouth was in terms of draft capital. First-round pick after for offensive line. That ain't the same line anymore. So that was really the strength of the team more than any single element. That was it. Not the same. The defense is a mess. It's upside down. Either the linebacker tandem, which a couple of years ago on paper, I was like, that's the best in the league, has completely underperformed. Now, because of attrition and everything else, they're not the same anymore. I used to think that was a strength. Their secondary needs help. Like, this is a team with a lot of holes in it. When they didn't have those holes, they went 8-8 with Dak. I don't see why you're so impressed with the idea that Dak, who's now, that was on his rookie deal. Now he's getting $40 million a year. You think they're going to be better than that?
Yeah, I'm not sitting here saying that the Cowboys are some great franchise. I'm saying that Dak is a quarterback that I can believe in. You mentioned how they didn't win the division that year. How many divisions has Ryan Fitzpatrick won? None. His entire career. He's never led a team to win a division. Yeah, so he's never done that. So that's what I'm pointing to. And you're not going to get any argument from me about who has the better roster. It's quite clear to me that the best roster in the entire division is Washington. But I think that we all accept that the quarterback position means so much. And we all agree that Dak Prescott, maybe you could argue whether he's great or not great, whatever. That's semantics. We agree that he's the quarterback in the division that anybody would want. There's no argument there. So that's what it comes down to for me. That's why I'm leaning towards Dak Prescott, because you look at division winners across the league last year or every year. It's normally the team in the division that has the best quarterback. I know that's a bit of an oversimplification, but it's not even close. Like, if it's close,
barely,
then maybe the tie, maybe
barely.
The tie goes to
him.
See, that's where our disagreement is. That's where our disagreement is, that it's barely? Who's close to him? It's not Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's not Daniel Jones.
No. We're on a few seconds delay.
You're saying the best
Dak
quarterback winning the division.
Head and shoulders better than every other quarterback in the NFC East. I'm saying that usually that's the case. Your point is right. The best quarterback will win usually. I don't think it's close right now. The rosters between the Cowboys, certainly not on defense, and Washington. And I think there's a first time for everything. It's Fitz's time this year most likely. And I'll tell you something else. It's so Dallas Cowboys to have everyone thinking they're going to win the division and then fail to do it. It's so Cowboys.
Listen, Washington won the division with a losing record. I think that's happened 3 times in history. So clearly no one cares about the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, and I don't care about anything you guys are saying because I only care about Big Blue. Let's go, G-Men, baby. That's all I
that's
care
right,
about.
Molly,
let's go
them.
To break.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. LeBron James, no stranger to making history, and he does it again, this time across pro sports. Announced yesterday, the Lakers star joined the Fenway Sports Group as a partner, giving him an ownership stake in subsidiaries that include the Boston Red Sox. Yeah, the Boston Red Sox, Liverpool Football Club, Fenway Racing. LeBron and his partner Maverick Carter will become the company's first black partners, making history, making money moves. Huge congrats.
I think for me and for my partner Maverick to be the first two, black men to be, a part of that ownership group in the history of that franchise, I think it's pretty damn cool. It gives me and people that look like me, hope and inspiration that they can be in a position like that as well, that it can be done.
This is a big deal. This is a really big deal. So is Kendrick Perkins. Perk, looking so nice. I like this outfit. Very handsome, very dapper on the basketball court.
I'm trying to step it up a little bit.
I'm into it.
It's not a tall four suit like Stephen A., but it's working for Big Perk. Big and tall section work just fine.
First of all, was wearing Tom Ford before Stephen A. Don't give me the Stephen A. Tom Ford stuff, please.
All right, Neek, I'll start with you here. Will LeBron's overall on and off the court legacy surpass Michael Jordan when we're talking about these type of moves, like being the first black partner with a group like the Red Sox?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is probably the easiest question of the show. I think the answer is absolutely yes. Like, if you look at what LeBron is accomplishing while also performing at a level comparable to Michael Jordan on the court, he is also, like, you could say that he is Tyler Perry, he's Jeffrey Canada, he's Oprah Winfrey, all at the same time. He's Reginald Lewis, all while being the best player in the NBA. So absolutely, his legacy is going to surpass Michael Jordan's because he is accomplishing so much. He's executive producing TV shows, starring in movies, all while winning championships, building schools and running them, all while winning championships, and buying into other professional sports teams like Liverpool, and also obviously the Boston Red Sox. He's doing this all while performing like Michael Jordan on the court. It's astounding and unbelievable. And I think the point that he made about being black while doing this, he's also doing it while bringing up other black people, which is also incredibly difficult to do in industries that are already built up to kind of be, to guard against letting that happen. So yes, when we look at the documentary that we had for Michael Jordan this past summer and we saw how great he was, can you imagine what that documentary is going to look like when we do it for LeBron James? It's going to be much more than 10 parts. It might have to be 20 parts to encompass all the things that he has his hands in. And he's done it all without having any major issue or public slip up. Like, the only thing people can stick to him is making a decision to leave Cleveland. So yes, his legacy, I think, if it's not already past Michael Jordan's, it is going to pass Michael Jordan, especially when you add the stuff that he's doing off the court. Jordan owns a team now, but that's after he played. LeBron's buying into teams across the pond and at home before he's even done, while he's still in MVP contention and likely to win another championship. So I'm sure Perk agrees, because Perk knows how impactful LeBron has been.
There's a lot to say about this. Let me start by saying that was well argued. I think you're probably right when all is said and done eventually. And part of that's going to be a recency bias, because Jordan's going to seem ancient. The people will not have seen him play. Part of it will be because Jordan laid the foundation for others to follow, just as people before Jordan laid the foundation for him. Part of it is because LeBron's social activism comes from him internally. It's important to him. And he's existing at a time where it is much easier to be activist in the way LeBron is than it was in Jordan's time. There's more media. Athletes are more empowered. All that is true. But I want to here just make the case for Jordan for a second. First of all, on the court, when I was a kid, the argument was, who was the greatest player ever? And this is before Bird and Magic had everyone transfixed. Like, was it Wilt Chamberlain or Bill Russell? Bill Russell was the biggest winner ever. Wilt Chamberlain put up the best numbers ever. Michael Jordan was Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain. The highest scoring average of all time, and he's a 6'6 guard. Highest scoring average of all time, Michael Jordan. Highest PER of all time, Michael Jordan. Highest playoff scoring of all time, Michael Jordan, which was higher than his regular season scoring. Highest PER in the playoffs of all time, Michael Jordan, also higher than his regular season. 6-0 in the finals, never went to a game seven. Basically won the championship every time he played with a single other all-star. That's on the court. Then there's also the aesthetics, right? It's not just Bill Russell meets Wilt Chamberlain. It's those two meet each other, but it looks like Dr. J. It's also just the way he was an above the rim. Oh, my God, no one had ever seen it. Sports Illustrated was having cover articles on talking to physicists. How is he defying gravity? Is he really able to hang in the air longer? Like, he was a cultural phenomenon because of not only his unmatched greatness on the court, and this goes for the history of American team sports, or really world sports. If the world had to vote that the Martians were pointing the death beam at Earth, and you had to put the ball in the hands of one athlete who ever lived any sport, Jordan would be the runaway winner. You would give it to Michael Jordan. So there's that in terms of an athletic accomplishment. Now, how did that translate to commerce? His sneakers, Jordan's sneakers, still outsell LeBron 5 or 10 to 1. The man's been retired for 100 years already. Still, that's the kind of impact. He is a billionaire who owns a franchise. And now that he's existing in a time where it is easier to be activist, and I'm not taking anything away from LeBron, I think LeBron actually helped create these conditions, not just social media, but he actually led the way in this respect. What did Jordan do? Here's $100 million from Jordan Brand pledged over the next 10 years, right? He is also getting involved in that. So while I think you are right ultimately, Dom, I think more of it has to do than people realize with simply recency bias. People don't care as much about Babe Ruth as they did a million years ago, right? But there was once upon a time, there was no one you could talk about in baseball that was nearly on that level. Eventually, the same will happen to Jordan. And because of the things you said about LeBron, it will be LeBron whose legacy is the one that supplants Jordan's overall on and off the court.
Well, Max, look, I'm not about to get on here and debate with you about the on the court and if Jordan or LeBron is better or who surpassed on the court. But I'm gonna tell you why LeBron has already surpassed Michael Jordan for his legacy. And we're gonna talk about off the court. Let's talk about LeBron James as a businessman. What LeBron James is doing right now as a player, still playing today, no other player has done this, right? And LeBron James, what he's doing, he has changed the minds of athletes today. We're witnessing other athletes look up to LeBron James and go out there and actually venture off and do business while playing when we've never seen that before. On another note, look at Blaze Pizza Company, right? LeBron James could have invested into Papa John's, Pizza Hut, Domino's. He took a no-name brand pizza company and invested and put his face behind it and put it right there at the top with all of those pizza companies. That's the first thing. Second thing, he invested, bought a soccer team, part owner of a soccer team, overseas, still while playing, like Dominique just said. Thirdly, a city where LeBron James is the most hated, in Boston, where right now Bill Simmons and Jackie McCullough are drowning in Boston baked beans right now. He's part owner of the Boston Red Sox. He's part owner of the Boston Red Sox. Here's the key to this, though. People are saying, oh, yeah, LeBron James. But guess what? He brought along his brother, Maverick Carter. And see, that's the difference. See, in the sports world, when you're an athlete, they're told that you have an entourage. LeBron James don't have an entourage. They're called the Four Horsemen. Rich Paul, one of the best agents in the game today, that didn't ask nobody for a dime, started from the ground, got it from the mud. Now it's worth $100 million. You look at Randy Mills, who's LeBron's right-hand man that makes all of this work, is the heart and soul of that whole group. Now you look at Maverick Carter, part owner, Spring Hill Productions. LeBron James actually takes his people, his African-American brothers, and put them on and put them in position to be successful so that they can hold their own and not be called the word leeches or look for handouts. They are actually bringing to the table. Now let's talk about LeBron James and his impact in the community. When you look at what he did for us, the I Promise School for the kids in Akron, knowing LeBron was a guy that grew up in the hood of Akron, in the bricks, knowing that some of these kids wouldn't get the same opportunity to get an education and make it out. Look at what LeBron did with more than a vote. More than a vote. We had the most African Americans vote this past election in history. We're talking about 100 years old African Americans that never even thought about voting, came out and voted in this election because of the More Than a Vote campaign, Max. And then when you look at it, take it a step further, look at what he did. He, instead of stopping, because we all know voter suppression exists, okay? We all know that it exists. LeBron James said, you know what? We're not going to have voter suppression. I'm going to team up with the NBA. We're going to open up NBA arenas so that people can have places to go and vote. Max, that is powerful. This is why today, LeBron James, with him doing what he did yesterday and the news breaking, he has already surpassed Michael Jordan for his legacy-wise. Carry on.
Well, I don't believe that's the case, but I think you just spoke no lies, zero lies. Every single thing you said, I'm taking the opinion out of it that he's already surpassed him in terms of legacy, but all the facts you stated are indeed true facts. There's no doubt about it. I want to add something else, actually, rather than just pursue the argument, because I do think eventually it will be a moot point anyway. The fact that he bought a baseball team he's part owner, while he's still active, and not only a team, but one of the biggest brands in baseball, as much as I hate it personally as a Yankees fan, oh, do I hate the Red Sox. The fact is, it's another sign of LeBron James's intelligence. He has always been, like you could see from the way he played basketball in high school, that he was raised right. You know, the attitude he had on the court, the way he shared the ball, the way he brought people with him, you could see he was brilliant. And his heart was also in the right place. I know that sounds funny watching a guy play his sport, but you could absolutely, I said it on Around the Horn back then when he was still in high school. It sounds ridiculous, but you could absolutely see it. When you buy a baseball team like the Red Sox, it's like a religion. When you think of it just as a business proposition, not only does the equity of the team shoot up every single year as a legacy buy, but it's the one business in the world that's treated like a religion. People, every day, there are new fans created by their parents. Babies are born as fans of that team who will be lifelong customers. Lifelong. I got three little girls. They don't watch baseball. They know they're Yankees fans. LeBron James just bought into that when he's like not, he has years to go before he's 40 years old.
That's
it
crazy.
Is remarkable what he's accomplished age of 36.
I'm glad that you steered away from the debate on this because it's a weird thing to be arguing about because you're right. LeBron has built on what Jordan has kind of laid before him when he was built on what the stars before him had laid out. But I do think it's important to not diminish LeBron's outspokenness on social issues and political issues, because you're right, the climate is different now where it is a lot more comfortable these days for an athlete to be outspoken in those ways than it was for Michael Jordan. But that is in part because of LeBron James. And even in this climate, it never has been kind of accepted by the country that you can go directly at the president. LeBron's one of the only people, one of the only public figures who went directly at the president time and time again when it was called for. So I think that deserves another point on top of it. So it's not to take anything away from Jordan because I understand times were different, but I just think about the legacy through the kind of lens of a documentary, which is kind of how we're going to remember Michael Jordan going forward. It's going to be that documentary that was on this network over the summer that we all watched and we all enjoyed. Michael Jordan's was all about him, or mostly about him as a player. One of the greatest ever, the greatest player ever, all the accomplishments that he had on the court. If you are willing to say that LeBron is like parallel to Michael Jordan as far as a player, or even if you say he's a little bit less than Michael Jordan as a player, then you look at all the other stuff. Michael Jordan did change marketing. He did change commerce. He did make a lot of the country more comfortable with looking at a black man as a leader and a dominant force. But what LeBron has done on top of that has been much more than anybody could have ever expected respected or appreciated, all while bringing black people along with him, opening doors for other black people to do the same thing. That, to me, is the biggest check mark in the LeBron James column, is that he is doing this in a world, in a white world that's built to hold him and his friends back. And despite all that, he's having that success with them throughout all this. So that to me, is LeBron's most impressive legacy.
Well, I'm going to say this to all the young stars in the NBA, to all the upcoming stars that are in college, that are in high school, that are in AAU. If you want a role model to look up to and go and know how to handle your business and know how to surround the people, surround the right people around you, you need to be looking at LeBron James, because he just the example that he has set is the example that every kid, every basketball player, every athlete, in my opinion, should be trying to mimic. Because I know if one of my kids happen to make it to that level, which I think one of them probably will. I got four of them, so one of them is bound to be a professional athlete, I'm hoping. I'm going to make sure that they follow in the footsteps of LeBron James.
That's why we call him the king, and their daddy didn't do so bad either. So listen to this, Perk. You tell Kingston, a.k.a. Stone, who has practice right now, your other sons, they better bring their A game just like their daddy did in this segment, because we see you on the court getting there early to watch them. They better bring it today, all right?
I want the Giants to sign him at left tackle.
Molly, they have no choice, because guess who they're in the other gym with? The great John Lucas. He's 66 years old, and he's old school, and he's not changing his way. I'll tell you that much.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. On Tuesday, the Chicago Bears and quarterback Andy Dalton agreed to a one-year deal, $10 million, with the chance to earn another three in incentives. Sources telling our Adam Schefter after this news, Mike Wilbon had some stuff to get off his chest. Michael.
This is a disaster. And it doesn't mean that Dalton is the worst guy in the league. It doesn't mean that. And this guy, Ryan Pace, should be fired if this is all he can do. And his coach, Matt Nagy, because he didn't want to coach Trubisky, he wanted to pine away for his days as an assistant in Kansas City, where he had Mahomes as a redshirt. He should be fired because he doesn't want to coach Trubisky. These guys, I've been telling you this for 3 or 4 years. Yeah. They are a disaster. They have led to ruin the Chicago Bears.
Wilbon not mincing his words, and this guy never does either. Louis Riddick with us. Louis, I like the Navy. Good to see you. Guys, just a couple things I want to mention here quickly before we get into the subject. One, obviously part of the reason Michael Wilbon was so hot there is we know Russell Wilson said the Chicago Bears is one of the teams that he would like to go to. Apparently, they put together something to try to get Russell. Obviously, that didn't go to fruition. We just saw the Andy Dalton deal. Max, the question I have for you is, have the Bears' quarterback decisions ruined their chances to win? And when I say win, I mean not just make it to the playoffs, really make some noise in the playoffs.
Of course they have. but not just now, since I was a little kid. They had one great year, and it was the greatest team in the history of the NFL, according to many. It's the best I've ever seen, most dominant I've ever seen, the 85 Bears, and they've been living off of that since then. Chicago's a football-obsessed town, and they've never, in my lifetime, Jay Cutler is a top three Chicago Bears quarterback. Think about that for a second. I mean, this is a quarterback-driven league. They can't get it right. And I know, you could say, well, what do you want them to do? They tried Russell Wilson, and, you know, look, the Trubisky thing, it is what it is. If you draft someone second overall, that's so much draft capital to spend. But when you trade up to draft them second, it's insane. And then don't let there be the best quarterback I've ever seen, Patrick Mahomes, later on, where you could have traded down, or Deshaun Watson later on in the same draft. That's such a disaster. It's hard to really wrap your mind around it. So you could say, well, they just got it wrong on Trubisky. Well, they couldn't trade for Russell Wilson. At a certain point, you have to listen to Michael Wilbon and everyone like him in Chicago. They're not interested in the details of this particular situation this time. They don't want to hear it anymore. No more excuses. It's been decade after decade after decade of failing to nail down the quarterback position for one of the most storied franchises, and at least one of the most kind of mythological franchises in the history of American team sports in a football-obsessed town. Yeah. Of course their quarterback decisions have ruined their chances to win, and you got to listen to people in Chicago. They are suffering with this.
Yeah, I mean, they're emotionally attached. So, of course, they're going to be more enraged and upset. We saw that from Wilbon. Just because they're emotionally attached does not mean that they're going to be logical. It actually suggests that they're going to be less than logical. So let's look at this a little bit more logically. So the decisions we're talking about, in my view, is moving up to get Trubisky, trading for Nick Foles, and now signing Andy Dalton. None of those decisions are going to make them a championship contender. I agree with that. But I don't think that those are the decisions that have destroyed this organization, because they haven't been destroyed. Like, they've won the division. They made it into the playoffs. And like we talked about earlier, they were a makeable field goal away from beating the eventual Super Bowl champs in the Eagles. So, yes, they could be better. Yes, if they had Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes, maybe they win a championship. But the word ruined is what gets my attention. Those decisions have set them back. It's kept them from being maybe a real Super Bowl contender. But this team has not been ruined. That defense has kept them afloat. That offensive line that you mentioned earlier has been a problem. But they've been a competitive team despite the fact that they've made these decisions. If they made the other decisions, they got Deshaun Watson, yes, it's a different team, but they didn't. And they also, in this process, haven't been ruined. So that's why I'm not as hard on Pace and Nagy as maybe Wilbon is, because I'm not emotionally attached, for one. And I've seen the success that they've had. Last year's playoffs, they were a trick play away from being a lot more competitive in that Saints game. And I understand it's a lot of shoulda, woulda, couldas, ifs, and we all know many sayings about ifs. I know that's not that doesn't satisfy the argument, but I do also know that they have not been ruined. I can point to some teams that have been ruined, and the Bears aren't them.
Yeah, look, I think we have to define what the expectation is here for this organization. And the expectation in Chicago, amongst its fan base for sure, and amongst its alumni and the people that have come before this current iteration of this football team, is to win Super Bowls, is to be in the Super Bowl, is to kind of be a team that can compete on the level of those 85 Bears and of the 86 Bears and of the Bears that were consistently winning the NFC North and the NFC, well, the old NFC Central, and they were the bullies in the NFC. It's not just to win the division and or sneak into the playoffs via a wild card, maybe win a game, maybe come close to beating the eventual Super Bowl champion, being competitive, being in the hunt. You know, the Bears fans are sick of hope. They're sick of hoping to win, hoping to kind of, you know, conjure up images of the past in a positive way. They want to see results. And the fact of the matter is this. Just since Matt has been there, that being Matt Nagy, and him and Ryan Pace have been together, they have had many of the ingredients that would lead you to believe that this roster is just missing a quarterback that can do things that can't
yes.
be coached. A quarterback who can do things when it's scripted out exactly the way it should work, and it goes exactly how the way it should work. And they haven't been able to make that happen so far. And this, Matt and I, one of them a long time. And I'm not trying. I'm one of those people who has fought hard against separating coach and GM, GM and coach. Whose fault is it and all? But the facts of the matter are this: when it comes to Mitchell Trubisky, he wasn't there when they drafted him, but he has been there since. He is someone who was charged with trying to get him on the same page. They have messed that up. They haven't been able to get that right, and he has tried to veer and go down a different path. First with Nick Foles, and now he's going to try and go down a different path with Andy Dalton. And quite honestly, in hindsight, instead of going down this road here with Andy Dalton, if the relationship wasn't broken and they didn't need to go in a different direction with Mitch Trubisky, that probably would have been the best move, would have been to bring him back, considering that he actually started showing that maybe he had found his sweet spot in the current incarnation of this offense that Matt adjusted to last year, which isn't typically what he wants to do. The long and short of it all, though, is this. They don't have the long-term answer at the quarterback position on their roster right now. They don't have a way of really addressing it because unless Houston or Seattle wants to play ball, they're not getting one of those two quarterbacks. And in the draft, they don't have the capital to move up. They have to get inside the top 10 to get a quarterback who could make a difference long-term. So quite honestly, for the foreseeable future,
because
they're stuck.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear excuses like, look, there's been enough quarterback movement. Forget about the fact that in the last, I don't know, a couple of decades, let's say, because it's been going on longer than that, there's been Rodgers and Brady and Breeze and Peyton Manning and a lot of high, well, Brady wasn't a super high draft pick. Russell Wilson wasn't a super high draft pick. Watson and Mahomes were in the draft when they traded up to draft second. They don't even have, where's a Matt Ryan in the last couple decades or a Dak Prescott? Guys who are, you know, really good but not great yet, in my opinion, right, in Dak's case. And Matt Ryan maybe never quite got there. Where's a Roethlisberger? Where is a single quarterback to hang your hat on? And let me make it simple. Let me make it real simple, Dom. Like, okay, so Lewis Riddick is an NFL executive. I wish the Giants would have hired him as GM. Lewis, if you were GM of the Bears since 1985 and still – this is what you've had, the quarterbacks you've had. Would there be any excuses? In other words, like, just if you make it personal, just imagine anyone out there that you're running the Bears. It's been since 1985. You haven't come up with a single quarterback. So no single year, Dominique. I'm with you. I like to rationally look at it and logically, well, what were they supposed to do? It doesn't matter anymore. The fact is, the seat is vacant still. That's the problem. They just signed Andy Dalton, who is a replacement-level quarterback. He's competent, whatever. And by the way, it's typical. Every season, the season starts, and Bears fans have a guy just like Andy Dalton, if they're lucky that year. And there's no more excuses. They blew it. They continue to blow it. They need to get a quarterback. Wake me up when they get one.
Oh, I was giving Lou a chance to respond. I assume that.
Well, hey, you know what? You know what? I'll tell you. I thought you were going to go, but yeah, you know what? I'll jump in here. I'll say this. Look, there's obviously a lot to this entire issue here as far as what is going on with the Bears and what kind of things that they need. But look, Max, I don't like necessarily holding this current regime, you know, right, responsible for things that they haven't been able to do since 1985. But although I get your point, okay, if you had been the general manager since 85 up until now, well, then you should have been gone long ago, right, because you haven't answered. You've had many, many, many different chances as far as trying to address that situation. And again, but I think you also have to understand, too, how we are evaluating this situation from the outside looking in clearly is not the same way that the decision makers in Chicago are evaluating it. Because if they really had the ability to be objective in that kind of situation, then it would be an easy decision for them. And look, there was a lot in Chicago. There was a lot of discussion about the postseason, you know, press conference and the postseason kind of, you know, state of the union that the ownership group had in Chicago after this past year as far as where they thought things were going to go heading into the future. Many people thought they should have just gone ahead and wiped and cleaned house then and just started over new and just reset expectations. But by keeping the same regime and by continuing to kind of like dangle hope out there, they kind of have the Chicago Bears, you know, fan base at the end of the line here thinking they're going to do something. They're going to finally do something. They're going to do something to go ahead and put us over the top. And so they're responsible for that as well. Okay, they're responsible for really what's currently going on as well. And look, I think, though, the long and short of it all, though, is this. They needed to get a guy who could make it right when it wasn't all right by scheme. That's the long and short of it, and they know that. And Matt Nagy knows that. And that's why they tried so hard. Now, they have no margin for error. They know that they're going to have to win games in spite of Andy Dalton, not because of him. They're not going to win games because of him. And that is not the situation that they needed. That is not what they were looking for. And they know now they're in a long uphill climb, and they're going to have to be perfect in order to not just win games, but win games at a level that would put them in championship contention. And I just don't see that happening.
So this conversation has kind of morphed into a referendum on Ryan Pace.
And
I think, and it's probably a fair thing to do, but basing it all on whether he can find the right quarterback or not, I think is unfair. You mentioned that they haven't had a quarterback since 85, and maybe you wouldn't even consider McMahon a real kind of franchise quarterback. If they haven't had it in that long, then you can't blame Ryan Pace. Like, it's a hard thing to do. And keep pointing out this same particular draft that people passed on, that they passed on Mahomes and Watson. Lots of people passed on Mahomes and Watson. Like, this is not, picking a quarterback is, it feels like it's as random as flipping a coin. So, like, basing their career or basing how good a coach Nagy is or how good a GM Pace is based on whether they've been able to find a quarterback or not, to me, feels unfair because nobody knows how to find a quarterback. What was Mahomes? He was number 10 in the draft? Nobody knows what they're doing at that position. You can look at the rest of the roster they built and be critical of the offensive line. Yeah, you could do that, but you can't be critical of the defense that they built. You can't be critical of some of the playmakers that they brought in there. So that's my point. That's why I think it's unfair. Nobody knows how to find a quarterback. Y'all all can pretend like you do if you want to, but you don't. So to be fair to them, they've built up a good team, a competitive team, a playoff team, without having a quarterback. So you could spin it the other way. So, yeah, decades and decades of terrible quarterbacks in Chicago, that stinks. But that ain't Ryan Pace's fault. And making these wrong decisions recently, you can blame Ryan Pace. But nobody knows how to do it, or Patrick Mahomes would have been first pick overall.
This is the same thing with a franchise like the Knicks in basketball. At a certain point, no one cares whether it's the new regime, the old regime. There are no more excuses. If Russell Wilson has your name on the list, well, they tried so hard. Did they get it done? Yes or no? They did not get it done. Deshaun Watson is there. I don't think the Bears will get that done, right? Put yourself in a better draft position. Trade up in this draft to identify a quarterback you like. You must give the city some hope that you're not just going to run out another retread under center as usual. They must, like, no one knows how to get it right, but they're the only ones this entire time that always get it wrong. They're the only ones. And so, you know what, Dom? Fair or unfair, it falls on this regime because they are continuing in the tradition of not getting it right.
They're not the only ones.
Yeah, there's no doubt that there's no question that they are going to become victims of things that have happened before them that they had nothing to do with. But you know what? That happens to a lot of people. Look, people in the NFL understand. They understand this ultimately at the end of the day. And Dom, you know this. It's just quite honestly, it's just the bottom line business. And you know what? No one right now in Chicago cares about Ryan Pace drafting Roquan Smith. No one cares about him getting Kyle Fuller. No one cares about Eddie Jackson. No one cares about any of those guys trading for Khalil Mack. They don't care about Danny Trevathan. They don't care about any of that. None of it. They don't care about Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, anything else that's going good. All they care about right now is this. Get me somebody that can win it when the call isn't perfect. And until you do that, I want you either to do it or I want you fired.
That's fine.
We get it. We know how that goes.
That's the way the league is right now. That's the way the league is. I'm comfortable with that. I'm not going to go out picketing to save Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace's job when they eventually get fired. But I also do not have to accept that that's the right way to go about things. I can also point out that there are flaws in that strategy.
That's true.
I know that's how it's going to happen. And I'm like, hey. Tough for you, Ryan. You'll go find another job or you'll sit on whatever millions of dollars that they paid you. But let's not pretend like you can judge a GM based on how they found a quarterback. Like, Ozzie Newsome, probably the best general manager in the history of the NFL. Never really found a quarterback. Never, ever really figured it out at quarterback. It's an impossible thing to do.
Now what does Russ do? All the teams are gone. Everyone's moved on.
Because it's random. What is it? You not understand how randomness works? Like, it's luck. It's a coin toss.
If it's some random, they should have hit by now in 40 years.
Some people get lucky and some people don't. Yeah. Neither does Max.
I'm not lucky. I'm blessed, Dom. So don't tell
okay.
me that.
Well, then it's Jesus.
Bye,
either
everyone.
Way,
this
the Bears
really
can't find a quarterback.
This is a fantastic way to spend my morning. I might do it this way tomorrow.